You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
As we continue looking at the Advent series, and we've been talking about this, we've been looking at Advent through looking at the shape of Jesus. We've been looking at his spiritual gifts. We've been looking at the talents and the abilities that he has. We've been looking at his heart. We've been looking at his personality. And today we come in as we're looking at the shape of Jesus in Advent, and we're looking at his experience. And we're looking at what was it like for Jesus to experience the Christmas moment and the life arc of Jesus here on the earth, which I appreciated earlier Shay talking about, that we celebrate today the birth of Jesus, and when we take the Lord's Supper, we also celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus. And so today as a church, we have the whole arc of Jesus' life on earth, absent of Jesus returning and taking us home. And so we have that piece. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to go back. A couple weeks ago, I taught out of Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. And I want to start the Christmas story there again. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive adoptions as sons." Long ago, a precious woman found out that she was pregnant. But it wasn't the way that she wanted it to go. She had been betrothed to a man in marriage, and she found out that all of her dreams and all of her plans had just been shattered when an angel showed up and said, "Hey, Mary, we got plans for you. You're going to carry the Son of God." There was a guy named Joseph who was the one who was going to marry her. And he found out through Mary that she was pregnant. And all of his dreams were smashed and destroyed. You see, the Christmas story starts out with worry and fear and anger and pride. It's not beautiful. Many of us can relate to Mary and Joseph, can't we? That we had dreams, we had plans, and things have changed. And we emotionally are responding to those issues. For Mary and Joseph, the story continues on. When it comes time, about the time for her to give birth, some politician decides that he wants to count everybody. And that everybody has to return back to their home where their heritage and their family was born. I mean, nowadays, it's fun for me. We have pregnant women inside of our church, and it's always fun when they go to their doctor and they ask their doctor, "Is it okay if I travel? Is it safe for me to travel?" There was no doctor to talk to Mary to say it wasn't safe to travel. She traveled. Fully pregnant, any point in time, ready to give birth. And when she shows up to Bethlehem, she gets the most wonderful welcome of all time. "Pregnant lady, come on in. We have a beautiful place for you. You who need to be loved, you who need to be cared for, we have chosen to care for you." That's not the Christmas story. The Christmas story is prideful, arrogant, powerful people who wanted their place and their position, took all the good places. And what was left for Mary and our king was a stable where the animals got to be. Men, just think about that. "Hey, baby, man, I really wanted to provide for you. And I'm really excited about our son coming into this world. Check out this nice establishment." That's not how he felt. Joseph felt insecure. Joseph felt angry. Joseph felt out of control and he had no recourse. I'm sure Mary said something biting. I'm sure Mary had some side comment that she smacked Joseph upside the head with. Because after all, she is human. She had her own pain, her own feelings. I'm sure Mary felt incredibly rejected. The part of the story that blows my mind is Mary and Joseph's parents were probably in the town. But Mary and Joseph's parents had cast them out. They didn't want to be around him. Here's this woman who got pregnant out of wedlock. And here's Joseph, as best he can, trying to stand in character with Mary. You know how hard that was for him? To stay with her. That's the Christmas story. The Christmas story is wrapped up with massive amounts of pain, massive amounts of emotional discomfort, massive amounts of craziness. The Messiah comes in. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Christmas story allows us to connect to God because God sent His own so that we can connect. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God. I love Galatians 4 because it talks about the entire arc that God, in the fullness of time, sent His Son so that He could rescue you and I and bring us back into right relationship so that ultimately in that right relationship, we can return home to be with Him. So even in our lives, we don't get to return home yet. And so there's still tension. You're like, well, Nathan, I've been saved. Isn't my life supposed to be amazing? No, you're still connected to your flesh. Doesn't your flesh create problems? Doesn't your flesh make you think that you deserve better than you receive? If that's not the story of Christmas in America, I don't know what is. We start out with young children and we tell them, dream for stuff you'll never get. Shoot for the stars so we can destroy your heart. They make lists. I remember as a tiny kid, my parents took me to a place and it was like, I think it was called Cal Expo or something like that. And there was a Santa Claus. And we didn't grow up like dirt poor, but we definitely were not like lower middle class. So we were like in that edge of we're not sure where we are in the day. And my parents, you know, for whatever reason, I'm sure I pressured them, like, I want to see Santa. And my mom and dad, they got me in to see Santa. And of course, you don't get to see Santa for free. You got to pay to see Santa. And so they got me in there and to see Santa. And I came all the way up. And it was time for me to meet him. And I got up to meet him, and Santa asked me, what do you want, little boy? Now, I don't know this story. The story has been told to me by my mother because I didn't remember it. But what I told Santa was, I wanted a train set. I wanted an electric train set. And Santa said, little boy, you're going to get it. My mom's heart was crushed. That little boy is not going to get it. I remember my mom telling me the story that she was so angry with Santa. Merry Christmas. That Christmas, as I opened my presents, as I opened my toys, a tiny, tiny train. Wasn't electric. It's like a matchbox train that my parents tried as best they could to piece things together so that I could have part of my dream. And you and I are in those same boats. America teaches you, dream, dream. And you get what? Pieces of it. And you're angry and you're not satisfied. And that's because that part comes when we are heirs. We are in eternity with Christ. There's part of things that I'm hoping for and I'm wishing for and I'm wanting now that I don't get now. I get it later. So here we are in this position and in this place. What do we do? What I want you to do is I want you to look at the Christmas story from a different lens. We've been looking at it from vulnerability. We've been sweeping into it in a different direction. I've told you, it's not one or the other. It's okay that some churches are teaching, yay, Christmas, we're awesome, we're amazing, we're with Jesus. Jesus is great. That is true. What we're focusing on and we're teaching is Jesus is great and He's awesome, but Jesus is incredibly vulnerable. Point number one, if you're taking notes, Jesus came to the earth to encourage us. Jesus came to the earth to encourage us. We've got to ask a question. What courage did Jesus want to put into us? The word encourage, the prefix in means to put in, to place something, to put something in that's not there. In other words, the courage that you and I would have, we didn't have. And Jesus came from heaven to earth to place into humanity what we didn't have. We've got to start asking this interesting question. Jesus, what were you doing? Why did you do what you did? And I'm going to help you out. Jesus modeled to you and I what we're supposed to do. Church messes it up. They say, be like Jesus. And you guys are all trying to walk on water. Be like Jesus. And you're looking at one of the meals that you made and you're praying that it changes. Some of you, you love your alcohol. You've got a glass of water and you're praying that it turns into wine. You're trying to be like Jesus. No, no. You and I need the courage to be like Jesus because Jesus showed us the way. We have to have the courage to go down. Jesus left heaven, emptied himself, and came to earth vulnerable, needy, dependent. And that's not what you and I want to be. Jesus came down to show us and to encourage us that you can be vulnerable, that you can be needy, and that God can provide, that God can protect you, that God can show you his love. Some of you guys, you have issues just like me. You're the childhood that you grew up in. By the way, it doesn't matter what childhood you grew up in, you're going to have issues. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and then his parents had to move to Egypt. Then Jesus moves to Egypt, and he's in Egypt for a while, and then his family moves back into where he's supposed to be, but they can't go back to the town they want to go to. They got to go to a different town because everybody else is not working out, so they go to another town. Jesus is moving around as a kid. Anybody ever wish that they didn't move as a kid, that they just lived in one house? What's funny is all the kids who lived in one house wishes they would have moved. So it's like this really weird thing that happens. But Jesus lived in this lifestyle of trusting in God. Jesus came to the earth to encourage us. He's encouraging us to be like him, to go down. But our world keeps encouraging us to go up, to climb the corporate ladder, to be better, to be stronger, to be bolder. I remember in the 1990s, I went into McDonald's. They looked at me, said, thank you for your order. Would you like to supersize that? Yes, I want to supersize that. If that's not American culture, I don't know what is. We want to supersize our marriage. We want to supersize our children. We want to supersize our bank account. The word super, we want to be super. When I was a kid, there was a character that I would go see, and it was Superman. And here we have Jesus, who's the ultimate Superman, who came down. Let's jump out of Galatians. Let's jump to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any encouragement in Christ coming down, if there's any encouragement in Christ leaving heaven and coming to the earth, taking the form of a baby, walking through puberty and being 13, him getting to the age of 18, all the way up to the age of 32, him waiting 30 years to go through the process of saying, hey, I'm God. if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and compassion. In other words, the writer of Philippians is asking, if there's a smidge, a tiny bit of love, if you have just a little bit of fellowship, if you have slight amounts of affection or compassion, that's enough. Sometimes I don't feel like I have enough love. Sometimes I don't feel like I have enough joy. Sometimes I don't feel like I have enough compassion. Sometimes I don't feel like I have enough. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Like you just don't have enough? So you guys are like, Pastor, every morning when I wake up, I don't feel like I got enough sleep. Yeah. And what the writer is saying is if you have the slightest, you've got enough with Christ. You have the slightest and you're going to remain on you, you don't have enough. But if you have the slightest and you have the Spirit of God, you've got enough. Verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Let me help you guys out. Being in the same mind that it's about Christ, maintaining the same love that it's about the King, maintaining the same spirit that it's the Holy Spirit, and maintaining the purpose of what did God make you for to honor his kingdom. See, my dreams and your dreams get in the way of God's kingdom. You and I have been shaped and designed to serve the King. And we take our shape and our design out of the program, it does not go well. And God, who loves his children, puts them back in the program, which we don't like. God, I had my dreams. God, I had my plans. God, I had my direction of what I wanted to do. And God's like, yeah, I love you, and you're my child. You're going to be with the family. Come in here. We're like, oh, you're so forceful. When I was a tiny child and my parents were in the happiest place on earth and they had taken me there, which was actually probably the most disastrous place on earth for them, there's a place in Anaheim, California, in Disneyland, and it's called the Rivers of America. And the Rivers of America is really not a river. It's more of the pond of Anaheim with an island in the middle, which is called Tom Sawyer's Island. And for some reason, me being a spunky child, decided I was going to swim to Tom Sawyer's Island, which made all the Mickey police very happy. To which a young teenager dressed as a Native American in a canoe, grabbing me and pulling me out of the water and into his boat, looking for their parents. Oh yeah, I got beat. It was the 80s. It was okay. My parents didn't go, oh, you have a dream to swim to Tom Sawyer's Island. Let's let you do it. My parents and this worker hemmed me in and moved me back in the direction I needed to go. Don't you and I need to be hemmed in and moved in the direction we need to go? Many of you in this room, God is hemming you in. He is bringing you in, and you are upset. God, would you just line up with my plans? He's like, oh, you're king today. All right, you be in charge of the planets floating and spinning. Let's see how this goes. You got nothing. Point number two. Our response is to be like Jesus in our attitudes and in our calling. Jesus came to the earth to encourage us. The Christmas story is Jesus came to show us going down is the way to go up. Say it again. Jesus came to earth to show us that going down is the way to go up. You're like, Nathan, that sounds really stupid. Because all of my flesh and all of my mind and all of my body says the way to go up is to go up. Which is why we have corporate greed. Which is why we have people stealing that are billionaires. People who are already up want to go higher and want to destroy the people who are below them so they can get even higher. And that's not who Jesus is. That's not the Christmas story. Jesus came to encourage us, and our response is to be like Jesus in our attitudes and in our calling. Mary and Joseph are struggling, man. Things are difficult. They've got all this pressure on them, and their response needs to be, King, whatever you want to do. All my control freaks in this room did not like that. I don't like preaching that. But that's the Christmas story. Verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit. That's what I mainly do most of my stuff with. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Can you imagine how Christmas would change if this actually happened? Do not merely look out for your own personal interest. That's Christmas. But also for the interests of others. Verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Merry Christmas. Some of you guys already got plans for Christmas of what you want Christmas to be and how Christmas is going to build you up and how Christmas is going to make you amazing and how Christmas is going to make you feel good and how Christmas is going to just, everybody is just going to go your direction for one day. I have those plans. There are things that I love to do. I love having cinnamon rolls Christmas morning. I love cinnamon rolls Christmas morning. Okay, but I've already told you, my wife, she's too good for me. So she gets all food networky and stuff. And then she has like essence on cinnamon rolls. And I'm like, no, you don't, stop that. Stop it. I need butter. I need brown sugar, flour, okay? And I need it to be baked. And then I basically want just more sugar slathered on top of it. Can you do that? Don't put any zest in it. No zest. No pumpkin spice. No. I need my cinnamon rolls natural, the way God made them. You guys have your plans, don't you? The night before Christmas, the way things go, the way PJs are handed out, who gets what, how everybody wears them. Everybody gets together and watch Christmas Vacation and laughs like they've never seen it before. Kids go to bed early because they're tired. Like, Mom, Dad, I'm so tired. I'm just going to go put myself to bed. And you're like, you go do it. You child who I call blessed, you go. You go. And before they leave, they come in and they have hot tea for you. They're like, we made this. Here you go. We're so sorry. And then to really, really change everything, as the child is walking out of the room, there's something out of place. And silently and quietly, gently, as if nothing has occurred, they grab the object and set it where it goes and up the stairs to bed. Isn't that like a great poem? Wouldn't that be amazing? Some of you guys, you have this plan that you're going to get on a freeway, and I'm not naming names, David and Andrea. You're going to drive to Atlanta, and it's going to be beautiful on all the interstates. Every single lane will say, oh, it's you, David. Come on through. As you start to go through the hell of America, which is called Tennessee, traffic will not stop. It will not. There will be a miracle of miracles. People will have pulled off the freeway to look at a tree and wonder, why is this here? As the McDonald's drive through and nobody is there. You have these streets. That's not reality. Reality is you're going to hit traffic. Reality is there's going to be an idiot who doesn't know how to drive a vehicle and they're going to see a deer and go for him. They're going to flip their car, they're going to be underneath it, and then other cars are going to stop, and everybody's going to get out and be helpful by filming it with their iPhones. Oh, I'm helping you. I'm helping you. It's streaming live. Can you get that door open? Can't really get a good shot of your face. Open the door. Babe, it's not opening the door. I can't get a good shot of his face. Honey, you are helping him document this moment. What if we had a different attitude this Christmas? What if, I'm not naming names, the loves, you go through TSA with a smile today?
TSA?
Woo! Oh, you want my jacket? Yeah! Belt? Heck yeah! You know what? Before I get up to the front, I'm gonna even check and see if something's in my pockets. Oh, there is! I'm gonna take it out. Like, smile at the TSA workers. Have a different attitude. Be different than everybody else in the airport. Be different. Be like Christ, who considered himself not to be equal to the treatment that God Almighty gets. Isn't that your problem? Isn't that my problem? Man, I go to O'Hare, I want to be first class. First class. Why I got to stand in line with all these idiots? Do you guys not know who I am? I'm important. Why I got to board with other people? Why can't I have pre-boarding all by myself? Why doesn't the pilot come get me? Seat me in my seat. Why do people got to sit by me? Why can't I have the whole plane to myself? Dang. I'm important. Oh, the person in front of me just decided to lean back their chair. Who are they? Who are they? No, you can't get up and go to the bathroom. We are flying at 30,000 feet and I am buckled in. You sit there. Right? Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. Who, although he existed in the form of God. Stop right there. He's God. But when he came to the earth, he didn't ask to be treated like God. Why are you and I wanting to be treated like God? Because we're selfish, because we're the opposite of what this is saying. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Now, I know in America, we have a horrible background. We have a horrible history with slave. But I want you to understand what this word means. It means slave. Taking the form of somebody who didn't get to choose what his day looked like. When you read the story of Jesus and you learn about the experience of Jesus, Jesus says statements constantly, I do nothing but what the Father tells me to do. In my prayer time, I keep trying to get Jesus to be my slave and I keep trying to tell him what to do. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Like, when's the Christmas story, Pastor? This is the Christmas story. Joseph and Mary had to humble themselves. And they had to go a direction they didn't want to go. And in fact, the Christmas story for them lasted even more years. And Mary, who sees Jesus on the cross, sees the child that she loved and the dreams that she had for him being destroyed and killed on the cross. And Jesus' statement is, John, it's my mom. Mom, it's John. John's like, that's not the plan I had. Point number one, Jesus came to the earth to encourage us. You're like, Pastor, it's not encouraging. Point number two, our response is to be like Jesus in our attitudes and our calling. And what I want you to know is your spirit is the only thing that can produce this attitude. Your flesh will produce the opposite. Already, right now, in this room, anxiety, tension, fear, anger, pain, frustration, double worry, triple worry, even more frustration are present in this room. Do you know what kills those things? The Spirit of God saying, King, Whatever you want to do, I'm here. I'm your servant. When that person on the freeway cuts you off, relax, let them go. They have diarrhea. Seriously, it's just the way you think about it. Man, that person really has diarrhea. They've still been driving on this freeway for a while. They've missed a couple turnoffs, but man, they're hurting. Man, they're hurting. They got to go. Let them. Be gracious. Be kind. Be sweet. Be the presence of God as you walk through this next week. For some of you, you're going to go to family events, and you've never washed a dish at a family event. How about you take the attitude of being a servant and washing a dish? How about some of you in this room take the attitude of a servant, actually get somebody else a drink rather than you getting a drink served to you? How about some of you in this room, how about you take the trash out every single time it looks like it needs to be taken out? Just take it out. Be the servant. Like, Pastor, you are ruining my Christmas. Yeah, I am. Because I do not want you to have a Satan-filled Christmas. Because that's the goal, isn't it? That's the goal. The goal is to get everything that feeds the flesh and not allow the Spirit of God to grow in me, which will kill my flesh. And I'm trying to point you in the direction of letting your flesh die. This is going to be the week where you guys are going to have more fights than you've ever had. Because God's going to show up and he's going to make your life uncomfortable, and you're going to decide, if my life's uncomfortable, then your life is going to be uncomfortable. But the other thing is, it's called deflection. In other words, God is working in you, and rather than you facing what God is doing in you, you distract yourself. Some of you guys, someone's going to start talking about politics. Encourage them. Vote for that person. That'll be great for you. You don't have to argue with them about the impact or what it's going to do. Just smile. Say, that's great. That could be really cool. They're not going to know what to do with you. Okay? Point number three. I've already brought it up, but here it is. Jesus showed us the pattern. In order to go up, you have to go down first. Not only did Jesus empty himself in heaven and come down to earth, but while he was on earth, he emptied himself even more. And he died. The Nicene Creed says that God came to earth, came down from heaven to earth, and then he descended into Hades. And then the one who descended ascended back to us, and then ultimately ascended again back to the Father. Some of you guys are in this room, you're like, but Pastor, how far do I have to go down? Until your flesh dies. And you guys are like, dang, that's far. Until you are emptied of your selfishness, how much of you needs to be poured out? All of it. We jump back into Philippians, verse 9. It says, for this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, to those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible teaches us that those who are humble, God raises up. The way to go up is to go down. Now, if you're trying to get there on your own, it's not going to work. In other words, if you want to be connected to God, if you want to be in eternity with the King, if you want to celebrate what Christmas is all about, you have to humble yourself. And the key word to humble is humiliation. Humiliate yourself. That's not fun. That's not enjoyable. That's not what I want to do. I want to be honored. I want to be praised. I want to be cheered for. I want to be respected. And humiliation is not that direction. I want to be at the event where people bring me drinks, where I sit in my chair. They serve me. That's why we love going out to eat. We have a servant serve us. We love it. And Jesus is saying to us, that's not the way. I want you to be like me. And we're like, okay. So you want me to walk on water? He's like, no. Okay, you want me to make water into wine? No. You want me to feed 5,000? No. You want me to get 12 friends and get rid of one? No. No. That's not what I want you to do. We're like, but Jesus, what do you want us to do? I want you to be like me. Okay, well, tell us what it is. Empty yourself. Right, but not that one, Jesus. Tell us what it is. I want you to consider serving other people. When I was with the disciples and we were all getting ready to eat and nobody washed anybody's feet, I took off my cloak. I put a towel around my waist and I walked around as the lowest person in the room and washed everybody's feet. Do you not understand who I am as Jesus? I came as a child and I was born in the lowest place. Jesus keeps calling us to the low place. And I don't like it. But Jesus says, to those who are prideful, I will smash. Some of you guys, your pride starts to get up and up and up and up, and God goes, kill it, deal with it. And you're like, deal with what? And he's all, wham. And you're like, why, God? Why? He's like, you're getting out of hand. It wasn't. Oh, let's replay the video. In order to go up, you have to go down first. And when I look at the life of Jesus, I've said it before, he emptied himself in heaven. That's going down. He actually descended and came to earth. That's going down. He took on the body of a human. That's going down. He walked around in a flesh suit for 30 years. That's going down. He got ridiculed, put down, ignored, mocked, and ultimately beaten and killed. That's going down. And then when he was dead for those 3 days, he went to Hades, he mocked the enemy, he took the keys, he unlocked the captives, and he set everybody free by going down, 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 down. But I think I can set everybody free if I go up, 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 up. So what was the experience of Jesus? He emptied himself and he came to the earth as a baby. He lived a normal life until he was baptized, then all heck broke loose. He taught how to enter the kingdom of heaven. How do you enter the kingdom of heaven? You believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Son of God, and you desperately need him. There you are. How do you enjoy fellowship and relationship with God as you mature? You go down. He was killed. Ephesians 4, 8 through 10, he descended in the lower parts of the earth. He returned back to earth, and he walked among the disciples and other people, and there are many people who saw him. He taught people of what to do and how to do things, and we miss his teaching when we try to become great. Look at the disciples through the Gospels. They keep trying to figure out how to be great, and Jesus is like, that's not it. He ascended into heaven, and he was honored by God with the name above all names because he went down, 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 down. He was ultimately raised up. You know what's amazing is after all of that, he's going to return again. He's going to come down again. And when he comes down again this next time, first of all, he's going to be rocking a seriously sweet white horse. He's taking everybody home who are his, who chose, like him, to go down. And all of those who tried to pridefully go up, 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 they don't go with them. So here's our application. This Christmas, find a way to be lower. Don't sit at Christmas and feel like you have to get the best gift. Don't be at Christmas dinner and feel like you have to get the best piece of the meat. Don't feel like you have to be the first person to get the dip of the eggnog. Don't feel like you have to sit in the choicest chair and have the most comfortable blanket over you. Find in your own way a way to be lower. Find a way to humble yourself. For some of you, that's even sit on the floor. There's not enough space for all the family, and you choose to sit on the floor. Someone's going to come to you. What are you sitting on the floor for? Say, I just want to make space for the family. Find a way this Christmas to have a joyful attitude. You're like, Nathan, you just got done preaching a depressing sermon, and then you jump to joy. Here's what I want to help you out with. All of your pride has not made you happy. All of your pride has not made you joyful. All of your moves to power and control and violence, whether physical, in word, or in deed, whatever, have not moved you to joyful. So maybe that's not the way. Maybe that's not the way. When I first got here to Chicago, I didn't understand how the L worked, and I remember getting on a train going the wrong direction. Has anybody done that yet? I always got spun on the red line, downtown underground, when you're like in like the depths of Chicago, and you're like getting on, you're going around, and then you're like, oh, that's Wrigley Field, wrong direction, you know? And you have to get off at the next stop and get on the other train to go the other direction. When your pride starts to take you in the wrong direction, just own it. Go, oops, get off the pride train at the stop and go the other direction. And don't yell at anybody on the pride train. You prideful people, you're all going to Evanston, which is hell. Like, you can't say that. This Christmas, find a way to be lower. Find a way to have a joyful attitude. And then actually serve. Don't think about serving. Don't brainstorm all the ways you could serve. Don't think about all the things in the house that could be put away. Don't think about all the things that could be wiped down. Actually do it. Look at your precious grandmother. Get her some hot coffee. Get her a cool quilt. Sit with her and talk with her. Listen to stories. Serve her by listening to what she has to say. So I put some fun things. Get someone a drink. Wash dishes. Pick up the trash. Clean your room. This sermon is mainly for my family. The rest of you, I'm just thankful you're here. In here, smile at people in the airport, the store, or the mall. Some of you guys, you're going to do something incredibly stupid this week. You're going to go to Costco on Monday or Tuesday. I'm going to be there too. You want to know what I'm going to do? I'm going to park in the East 40 and walk all the way in. So I'm not with five ladies all in their Range Rovers trying to crush into the one parking spot. Now, I'm not just attacking the women with their Range Rovers or the really horrible chest-showing dude who's got his chest hair just popping out of his shirt and he's driving some amazing vehicle that he's just got to get places super fast because he's just quick and he's just twitchy. I'm not even going to go in there. I'm just going to park way out there, like employee parking. And I'm going to just walk my way in, just chill and relax. And I'm going to watch all the chaos of people who are not servants. I remember when I was in California, we would go to the mall and there would be fights over parking spaces. People beating each other up so they could go inside and put money on a credit card so they could beat themselves up the rest of their lives financially. It was brilliant. Let's not do that, okay? How about you give away the perfect parking spot this year? I mean, literally, you drive into Costco, it's like, the light is coming down. There are wise men with gifts. And you look at it and you're like, I can walk. Somebody else probably needs that space. Go on. Let it pass by. Trust God has you as you go down. That's my major problem. I don't trust God that he has me. Anybody else? God. You do not know how deep that is. Because you are all knowing, but you don't know that. God's like, yeah, I know how far that is. And the truth is, you're not going to ever hit the bottom. I got you. When you feel like you hit bottom, you hit my hands. I don't like being at the bottom, God. He's like, I know. That's why I've called you there. Because that's where I can use you. This Christmas, if Jesus was sent into Bethlehem, into a tiny little stable, and he was born the lowest child, why would he want you to act like you're the greatest child that has ever been? He wouldn't. He would want you to act like he made you. He would want you to serve like he served. He would want you to love like he loved. And here's the last part. Some of you guys this Christmas, serve others with your silence. Don't say anything. When you read through the Gospels, notice all the times Jesus doesn't talk. And everybody's talking around him. And he doesn't. That's hard for me. I have ideas. I love my own voice, unless it's on recording. This Christmas, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Allow the Holy Spirit to actually encourage you. Open up and say, King, encourage me. I'm about to go on a missions trip. Go be the salt and light of God wherever you're at this Christmas. You be the person inside of the family gathering that loves Jesus and loves everybody else that's around and is totally calm and chill. You be the person in TSA smiling at people. You be the person on the airplane smiling at the hostess, the stewardess, the flight attendant, whoever's there. Just smile. Thank them for helping you fly at 30,000 feet at 427 miles per hour, getting to your destination faster than you ever could. When you're on the freeway heading to Atlanta, praise God you're not in a covered wagon. Just find some place of joy. And to those of you who are upset that you don't have anywhere to go, praise God that you're not going anywhere. Does that make sense? Stand up with me, let's pray, and let's ask God to bless us as he graces us with showing us how to go low. Can we admit it's hard? Can anybody in here just be like real in Real Church and say, I don't want to do it? I didn't want to preach this sermon. This is for me as much as it is for you. Let's just sit for a second and stop and ponder that our God came down lowly, and I and you want to be above him. How about you just equal where he's at? Just be where he's at. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you that you care for us. God, bless us as we travel and we go out this week. God, bless us as we welcome family members in. God, bless us as we see other family members. May we be united with you, King. May we have love. May we have compassion. May we have joy. May we have thankfulness, God, because you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, have multiplied it. God, may we look at tiny lights on the side of a Christmas tree and be thankful that the light of the world has come in and shown us how to get to heaven. Thank you, God, that you showed us to go down is how we go up. Please empower us with the courage to do it. It's your name we pray, God. Amen.